And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Yes, that is me. Anyway, welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely weekend. And if you have an hour to spare tonight, please give us that time, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we welcome your participation. That's very, very important to us. Our lines are mostly open right now. We might have a call from Union City on the line, but other than that, our lines are basically open. So give us a call at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134, or you can call our toll-free number. Yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So again, 415-841-4134 or 866-798-8255. Actually, there was another line flashing, and now that's gone. So I guess it was just that call from Union City on the line. And so give us a call. And I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, that's one word, mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read them during the show because Jerry is very easily distracted, and we don't want to do that. So mindsovermatter at yahoo.com. Or you can give us a listen to us online at kalw.org. That's kalw.org, anywhere in the world, simply by having a smartphone or a computer. And since Debbie is here tonight, we will have the podcast up and running, no doubt, very quickly after the show at kalw.org. So if you call and you want to hear your voice again, that's the way to do it. So, all right. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Jerry Nachman strongly suspects that his recent defeats at table tennis are due to underinflated ping pong balls.
Thank you, Dana. About 10 minutes ago, tonight's guest panelist, Jonathan Westerling, offered cash to Dana, and in exchange for asking him only easy questions, since it is his first time on KALW, well, I guess we'll all hear whether the bribery worked or not.
Yeah, that is a lie. This is all lies, Jerry. How dare you? Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks that the only deflated things on the show tonight will be the egos of our panelists.
All right. So that is us. We'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Not likely. Okay. What is the what is the only musical to win Tonys for its four leading actors in the same show?
So, I'm sorry, there's only one musical that did that?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Best Supporting Actor, Actress, Best Actor, Actress.
I'm
not going to tell you
back.
I'm not going to tell you that.
Well,
not yet.
Give me a... Is it more than 20 years? Can you tell us that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably a very major, big-name musical. Very well known musical. Yes.
Yeah, very well known. Yeah.
It was a major success.
Mm-hmm.
Once more, please.
It won a Tony. The show itself won a Tony. Okay, what is the only musical to win Tonys for its four leading actors?
Oh, so it won a Tony for the four leading actors.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
And an extra bell if you can guess who they were once you figure out the show.
Right.
Wow, a lot of dead air.
Well, there are a lot of musicals,
yeah.
And it's more than 20 years ago. So, four leading actors.
Well, I'll even come back. And
all right. All right. How about Gypsy?
No.
Okay.
That's a good guess, but
I thought it was a good guess.
Who the four would have been? There would have been two, three, maybe.
Yeah,
it's my first guess on the show, so I'm gonna wait and make a better guess later than make a bad guess now.
All right, there you go. And Jonathan, why don't you go ahead and do it?
Sure, I'll lead off with this one. I think it'll be fun. We are coming up on Super Bowl next week, and that brings all the advertising with it. And so, advertising means product mascots, according to Time Magazine. Which are the top 10 creepiest product mascots?
Creepiest.
You mean Super Bowl or just generally?
General, for advertising. Many of them were at some point on the Super Bowl.
Creepiest meaning one like of them, mean or just sleazy?
Cheesy. In many cases, both.
The top 10.
Top 10.
This is all-time commercials?
This list is from 2011. So
it goes,
but they're all fairly well
known. This is all time. Then.
All time, yep.
How many of them are food related?
Most of them. Yes, most of them.
So what was the word you used to describe them?
Creepiest.
Creepiest. Okay. Is...
I didn't use it. Time Magazine.
No, I know. Okay.
Jack in the Box. Is Jack from Jack in the Box one?
That is number three,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I hate that character.
I like that character.
I do, too, actually. I was surprised. It's all the way to number three.
One of the great commercials of all time was the lesbian Jack in the Box commercial that they ran like once.
You saw it?
Yeah.
He allegedly hails from a cattle ranch in Colorado and is married to a blonde woman named Cricket. Jack in the Box.
You mean the voice of Jack in the Box?
Well, the character.
Oh, the character.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was animated.
So,
okay.
So most of them are food related.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. Okay.
All right. Give the question once more.
Sure. According to Time Magazine, who are the top 10 creepiest product mascots?
All right. Let's see here. What 18th century novel was the last book ever banned in the United States? It was in the 1960s. What 18th century novel was the last book ever banned by the courts in the United States? It was in the 1960s.
Hmm. Well, Lady Chatterley's Lover.
No. Mm-mm. That's not 18th century.
1860s. Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. Okay.
It's 1920s.
1860s, huh?
No. Yeah, 18th century, I said.
18th century.
Oh century.
18th century.
Oh, gee.
Banned in the 1960s.
Yes. It was an 18th century novel, but it was actually banned in the United States
in the
1960s.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Can you say what it was banned for? Sexual or profanity, racial?
Related to that. Related to that.
All the good ones.
All the above, probably.
The big three, yeah.
So, once more, what 18th century novel was the last book ever banned by the courts in the United States? It was in the 1960s.
It's a very well-known novel?
Yeah.
Was it ever made into a movie?
Yes, it was. More than once.
More than once.
Yes.
So was it? Wasn't it? Well, you said all those three. How about violence? Was it banned for violence?
I can't be sure of that. There was violence in the book, but I don't know if that was one of the reasons it was banned.
Hmm.
It's not an overly violent book.
And banned by the library.
Who? Banned by who? Yeah.
It was banned by
school libraries or something.
The courts.
Oh, really?
Federal court based in Massachusetts.
1960s.
In the 1960s, yes. So, once more, this 18th century novel was the last book ever banned in the United States in the 1960s. Second question, what play has become a TV series the most times?
What play
has been adapted into a television series the most times?
How many times would you say?
Four times.
Did the play run on Broadway?
The play did run on Broadway.
Did it ever have the same name on TV as it had originally?
It did.
I want to say Harvey for some
reason. It did not. I'm not sure of all the adaptions it always had the same name, but it did at least once. So,
is it a comedy?
I'm not going to say. What play, well-known American play, has become a TV series the most times?
I can't even think of one, let alone four.
There's tons of them. And first question, what 18th century novel was the last book ever banned in the United States in the 1960s?
Get me thinking, what Broadway play has been turned into a TV series? I can't think of any, but then that means nothing.
Well, you can't take it with you. It was turned into a TV series.
It was?
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't last very long.
Everything I says is a surprise to you.
You're a very surprising guy. Yeah. It didn't last very long, I guess.
No, I think it was one season. But, I mean, that's probably a bad example. There are plenty of others.
Mm. Is there any that you know have been long-term?
I have to think about that.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
You're in Union City.
Hi.
Sorry I wasn't on the last couple of weeks. My cell phone broke.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Was that Intelligence to Play that became a television series? Was it The Odd Couple?
It was The Odd Couple, yes. Very good.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. That's good.
And the fourth version of it is coming out this month, I think. Mm. Yes. On TV.
On cable?
No, on regular network TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a couple of questions. I got update on that question one of your callers asked about that movie, though, with Robert Weber. what's right. called Highway 301 or something.
Right, right, right.
That was based on a tri-state gang. That case was later dramatized in Untouchables. The gang was headed by somebody named Wally LaGonza. Do you know who played him on the Untouchables?
Ooh.
Give you a clue. He appeared in a television series. It was played by another actor, but then after the show was canceled, he took over, and the show ran about four seasons longer.
So once more with that, just the TV series part of it, the last part.
Yeah, it was an episode of The Untouchables. He guest starred.
Right. And then he had a starring role on a TV show that ran for...
Yes, it was a sitcom. Came earlier.
Ooh. Sitcom that came before The Untouchables.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Give you a clue. The guy who first played him wanted to have a long-running comedy variety series. Which spun off of the sitcom.
No.
You don't know?
No.
It was William Bendix. He played LeGowns. It was the episode was the Tri-State Gang.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's my second question.
All right.
Which Superman appeared in a biblical feature film in which one of the title characters influenced the creation of the superhero?
Once more.
Which Superman appeared in a biblical feature film in which one of the title characters influenced the creation of the superhero?
Okay.
What's Superman?
He just appeared in it. He wasn't necessarily the star of it.
No, he wasn't the star. He appeared in a bit role, but the biblical character influenced the creation of Superman.
Oh. Biblical character influenced the creation of Superman.
And you mean influence the creation of the comic book Superman?
Yes, yes. One of three or four characters,
so,
by the way.
So did this happen before the creation of Superman, then?
No, that came after the creation of Superman.
Okay. It wasn't George Reeves, was it?
Yes, it was.
Oh.
Wow.
That was a negative answer, but I got credit for it anyway.
Get the question together.
He had a weakness because he lost his hair.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
You know, he had a weakness, when he was short of his hair.
Oh, right. Oh, Samson.
Oh, I see. Samson. That's the biblical connection.
Okay. Okay. George Reeves was in Samson and Delilah.
Yeah, he had a small role. He got that role in his from Victor Mature when they were both working at the Pasadena Playhouse.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, Gareth.
I didn't know that about Superman. If he cut his hair off, he would lose his powers?
I wasn't aware of that either.
No.
He didn't have very long hair.
I read that comic book. I never saw that. Really?
We'll put it open for the call.
Okay, the good news is Garrett's new cell phone sounds better than his old one.
It does. I'm glad he got it fixed.
Good point. Yeah. You are a good listener to the show, yes.
And
can finally understand it, yes.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve in San Francisco.
Hi.
Came across a question the other day that might interest you.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first book written on a typewriter?
It was Adventures of Huckleberry Finn or Tom Sawyer?
Yeah, it's Twain.
No.
Oh, it's not.
Was it Mark Twain?
It was Mark Twain.
Yes.
The answer I got from the library was Life on the Mississippi.
Oh. Okay.
Could be. I've been to his house and saw his typewriter.
Oh.
But didn't know that.
Well, we knew small bell for Mark Twain. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Good evening.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from Shoutcast. Jonathan Westerling is sitting in with us tonight. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Again, if you'd like to give us a call, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Or call toll-free, 866-798-8255. And, Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. I'm looking for the top five best-selling nonfiction books of 30 years ago, all by well-known authors. I'll give you some hints. One is a self-help book. It doesn't narrow down too much.
No,
but,
not much.
But it was one of the first, I think, and biggest. One is a corporate autobiography. One is an animal book, one is a World War II reminiscence, and one is a collection of humorous essays.
Once more.
Okay, I'm looking for the top five best-selling nonfiction books of 30 years ago, all by well-known authors. One is a corporate autobiography. One is a self-help book. One is an animal book. One is a World War II reminiscence, and one is a collection of humorous essays.
Is the autobiography Lee Iacocca by any chance?
It is.
Okay.
That's number one. Very good.
Right. Is the humorous essays Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten?
Very good guess, but no.
No.
It might have been on lower down, but
World War II.
Is the self-help book Chicken Soup for the Soul?
No, that was way later.
Later,
I think.
Okay.
Yeah, 80s or 90s.
Well, 30 years ago, it was 1985, right? So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, I mean,
it's creeping up on me, yes.
Good point.
You're right. I'm still thinking. yeah, okay.
What's that book, Iron John? Is it something like Iron the self-help book?
No. The guy
horrible
that,
things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The guy that beat the drums in the forest.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Oh, no, it's not that.
It is,
but
no.
The same era, kind of. Mm-hmm. About the same era.
Okay. No, it wasn't, not Iron John. It was the other book he wrote. Oh, it was
what's his name?
Bigger. I know you're, yeah, you know, yeah. We both know who it
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
we just
yeah.
can't think of his name.
Yeah.
Which is probably not a bad thing.
So he formed a movement for men.
Yeah. Yeah.
For male,
self-awareness.
Self, yeah.
Whatever that means.
Right, yeah.
All right. In case you didn't know, you were...
It's a reaction to the feminism, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And let's
for
go
guys
to...
guys who need that kind of thing.
Yeah, you do. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hello. Good evening. One question, and I think I might have an answer for the question you just asked about the books.
Yeah.
Was one of them The Five Habits of... Very successful people by Stephen
no, excellent Harvey. Guess.
That's a good guess.
Excellent guess. It may be on the list lower down, but it's not in the top five.
Okay, and then The Road Less Traveled?
No.
Oh, that's...
The male bonding book?
That's also a good guess.
No.
Okay, then question. What is the history of the fabric corduroy, and how did it get its name?
Yeah, oh, I had heard that somewhere, maybe on this show, actually.
It's French.
Right.
Corduroy. It's the cloth of the king or something like that?
That is correct.
Yes.
Very good.
That
all
is
right.
correct. Very good. Very good. And did you know why it was the cloth of the king?
He was... Was he the only one who was allowed to actually wear it?
That was his pronouncement.
Right.
Yeah. He nice. Made... When it was created, discovered, and manufactured, it was shown to him first. Before it obviously went out to the public.
I guess it was the first occasion of a dress down Friday for royalty.
And, I don't know which king it was.
In those days.
That,
yeah, right.
This shall be the cloth of the king, and only I shall be allowed to wear it.
Yeah.
I don't know who the king was.
That's
the
good.
King.
People, yeah, always kidding me. People always kidding me about wearing corduroy, so now I have a
right.
good defense.
Early 18th century, I suspect, or late 17th.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Very
okay.
good. Okay,
you can call back
so
next
much.
Week with that question.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Jonathan, it's your turn.
Okay, I'll start with an easy one, and I've got one more after that. What prominent Bay Area location served as the destination of a rail line until a fire in 1929? Since then, it has not been served by rail.
Bay Area destination. It's still a destination?
Oh, yes.
And until what year?
1929. This is according to my friend Dave Kanzig, who's a rail buff.
Is it Sutro Baths?
It is not Sutro Baths.
Hmm.
So the destination was destroyed by fire.
Something. There was a fire at the destination. The
cliff
destination
house?
Is
cliff
still
house?
There. It is not the Cliff House. Bay Area location.
Oh, Bay Area. So not necessarily San Francisco. Okay.
Until 1929. Can you tell us which side of the bay it's on?
He's hitting East
I could,
bay, I
but
think.
That would be...
I think it's
would
East
that give
bay
too much
bay.
Away? Like the Berkeley Pier? Where the train used to go all the way out to the
That's
end of the
right,
Berkeley Pier.
But that wasn't...
where the ferry would pick it up.
There was no fire.
All right. All right, read that once more, would you?
What prominent Bay Area location served as the destination of a rail line until a fire there in 1929?
Okay.
Oh, I remember Key System.
Yeah.
I had a question about the key system,
I didn't
use it. I'm glad you
grew
got
up.
It.
I grew up on the key system.
My mother remembers that very fondly.
Apparently that's the name came from.
Yeah.
The key, yeah.
Well, came from what?
The household reference, the key system, is that was the first time was the name of that line.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm sorry. This is Matt in San Francisco.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Dana. Would one of the books be What Color Is My Parachute or Your Parachute?
No, another excellent guess, right around that time, I think, but
okay.
No.
And the other thing, I wanted to know, could you repeat the question about the musical?
Yeah, what is the only musical to win Tonys for its four leading actors?
Well, I was thinking Guys and Dolls.
No, good guess. No, not that.
Okay, well, thank you.
Sure.
Okay. How about West Side Story?
No. Mm-hmm. Good guess also.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Zebby.
Yes, it is.
Oh, the band Books?
Yes.
Would it be Tom Jones?
It is not Tom Jones.
Flanders?
It is not Moll Flanders.
Ooh, okay. The books from the 30 years ago?
Yeah.
I'm Okay, You're Okay?
That's a very good guess.
Very good guess. All these guesses of self-help have been excellent. Yeah. But no, not, not top
play?
Five. What?
Games People Play?
No.
Okay, that's all I got.
Oh, well, thank you, though.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right. According to the Consumer Protection Bureau, which is a real bureau in the United States, these are the five most complained about products in the United States. Now, these are generic products. Now, I'm not looking for a brand name. Just looking for a particular product. So according to the Consumer Protection Bureau, as of last year, these are the five most complained about products in the United States. I'll give you each one guess.
Hmm. Are the complaints safety or quality? Or
all of the above.
All of the above.
It doesn't work the way I wanted it to. It's a piece of crap, blah, 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 blah.
Just about everything.
So I'm only looking for a product, a type of product, not a name.
Hmm. Oh.
I was going to... I'm not going to guess child safety seats, but you always hear about those complaints, but it's probably not the most complained about.
No.
Is one of them at least a kitchen item?
Yes, I will say that. One of them is a kitchen item.
Microwave?
Yes, microwave is one. It's number five, actually.
Okay.
So, microwave oven. Right. Probably because they put tinfoil in it and explode it. So these are the five most complained about products in the United States, according to the Consumer Protection Bureau. Microwave ovens is number five. Do you want to take a guess?
Cars?
Not cars.
Not cars.
Believe it or not.
Mattresses.
If you went back a couple of years, probably cars would be on the list.
Mattresses?
No, not mattresses.
Okay.
All right, we'll leave it at that, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
For creepiness.
Yes.
we haven't come
creepy
up with
mascots.
Any of them.
Bring it.
Jolly Green Giant.
Excellent guess. I was actually to ask some friends about this, and that was one of the ones that they came up with. But no, he is not on the top 10.
All right. And how about Speedy Alka-Seltzer?
He was not creepy, apparently, according to Time Magazine.
Not creepy
good
enough,
guess,
anyway.
Though. Just goofy.
Good guess.
Yeah.
And for Rail Destination, how about the top of Mount Tam?
That's the one. Very good.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mount Tam Summit was served by the Mount Tam and Weirwoods Railroad until 1929 when it was destroyed by fire.
How about Mr. Clean?
Another one that my friends guessed.
Yeah,
I think Mr. Clean is
he
appeals to the housewives gets their floors clean and all
and
that.
And gay men, too.
And right. But he's not creepy, apparently.
No, he isn't. He just came to mind.
I'm sorry, Carl. We didn't mean to talk over you. Anything else?
Rather than a question tonight, Dana, I have a challenge for you.
All right.
Although for you, it's not going to be that much of a challenge.
Well, let's hope not.
We'll call this movie titles 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Movie titles often start with a number, like 101 Dalmatians or 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Starting with zero, give me the movie titles that start with whole numbers. I will allow you to drop articles like the or A, and it can be written or a number.
Well, if I gave you the movie 1, 2, 3 with James Cagney, would that take care of 1, 2, 3?
Well, I suppose so, but...
Well, how about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yeah.
But you have to start with zero.
1400.
How about, oh, so does it have zero. To start with the, it, does it have to start with the actual the number? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
It can be nothing. It
zero.
Has to be zero. Right?
Yeah,
oh, zero for conduct.
Good.
Okay. Well, for one, I'll use 1, 2, 3.
One flew over the cuckoo's nest. We both got.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Two for the road.
Two for the road. Very good. Three for the show. There is what we call three for the show. Betty Grable. There's a movie called For He's a Jolly Bad Fellow, but I guess you can't use that. The four Just Men.
Four Feathers, too.
Four Feathers, good.
Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Right.
Five
Against the House.
Yeah, so I was going to come up with that one.
Yeah.
Five Easy Pieces.
Six of a Kind, that's a W.C. Fields movie.
Seven.
Oh, there should be a lot of sevens because... What's that? You can't say
Magnificent
Seven. Seven. Yeah. Very good.
Is there a movie seven?
Oh. Good, good.
Seven Samurai.
Seven Samurai, yeah.
Eight.
Not eighth, but eight.
Eight.
Can it be eighth? A-T-H?
No.
Eight.
Nine. Nine and a half. Or that's eight and a half.
Can we use eight and a half?
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a movie called 9 Weeks?
9 Weeks, yeah.
9 Weeks.
Yeah.
Nine months. And 9 to 5.
We'll stop at 10.
There's a musical called Nine.
Nine, yeah. Yeah, very good. 10.
Oh, it must be a lot of tens.
There probably are a lot of tens.
Ten
Little Indians.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll stop there for now.
Okay.
And we'll let people go on add to it if they want.
All right. Well, I got it up to 23.
That's
good. We'll 23.
Maybe do it next week again. Okay.
23. I'd like to hear what 23 is.
23 Skidoo.
That's where I lost it.
23 Skidoo.
No, the movie's called Skidoo.
Oh, Skidoo. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Leave it out.
Very good.
Thank you.
Good inventive question. Yeah.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to give us a call, you can call this number, area code 415-841-4134. That's area code 415-841-4134, or toll free at 866-798-8255. I'm watching what I say because there's somebody here that does an imitation of me. I don't want to give this person too much fodder, but...
I'm going to work on it myself.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I never thought of that, yeah.
All right. And let's see. It is your turn, Jerry.
Okay. Joe Cocker, who died recently, had but one number one single. What was it?
You Are So Beautiful.
No.
You Are...
It was written for a movie.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. We're getting a message from beyond. All right, what is it, Jonathan?
You can leave your hat on?
No. I've heard of this song.
And it was written for a movie.
For a movie, a very well-known movie.
Was it a duet?
I don't know.
He did a very famous duet,
I
can't think of course. Okay, leave it out. Okay. Repeat the question, will you?
Joe Cocker, who died recently, had but one number one single. What was it? And it was written for a movie. What was the movie?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Gene in New York.
Hi, Gene.
So some guesses for creepiest product mascots. Pillsbury Doughboy.
The Pillsbury Doughboy.
He's not creepy, though.
He's not creepy.
Is he on your list?
He's just weird. He's not on Time's
creepy.
List, no.
Yeah, because they do such careful, product marketing.
Normally,
they would weed out anything that had a hint of creepiness to it. So.
There are definitely some creepy ones out there.
Okay, all right.
Gene, any others?
Ronald McDonald.
Ronald is on the list,
That's pretty
cool. But he's on the list as the first iteration of Ronald McDonald. He had a paper... drink cup as his nose, a cardboard food tray, and a belt that magically produced hamburgers. However, the first Ronald in a commercial was 1963, and if you look closely, you can see it's Willard Scott.
It is Willard, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I knew he was the first one, yeah.
Creepy character.
Well,
for books, How to Win Friends and Influence People?
No, that was way back in the 30s or 40s.
Okay. And what about, this is 30 years ago?
Yeah. 30 years ago, yes.
Is Men Are From Mars, or is that too new?
Oh, that's not a bad
guess. That's about the right era. Yeah. I think it was maybe a little, about right. No, that's about a good, right. Excellent guess, and that's not it either.
Okay, and then for somebody, I think somebody got the answer for the 29 Railroad. Is
yes,
top of Mount
Tam. Tam, right? Very good.
Yeah. And for complaints, computers?
No.
Or Microsoft Windows, or, you know.
Not that.
Okay.
What about cell phones?
And then I have a question,
not cell phones.
You. I'm going to name some actors, and you can tell me what role they played. All these actors play the same role.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, go ahead.
So this probably should be pretty easy for you guys. Clark Gable, Errol Flynn, Marlon Brando. I got one more.
Oh, Fletcher Christian.
Yes, okay. And Mel Gibson.
Right.
Rip Torn, Anthony Hopkins, Frank Langella.
Nixon.
Yes, and John Cusack, yes.
Wow.
Van Heflin. So this is not necessarily in movies. It could be in other media.
All right.
Like radio. Humphrey Bogart, Van Heflin, Robert Montgomery.
Philip Marlowe.
Yes. And Elliot Gould and Gerald Moore.
All right.
That's all I have.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You knocked those off rather handily.
Well, that was luckily for me. I knew them. So... Jonathan, your turn.
Let's have an NPR trivia, since this is NPR. Which NPR on-air personality drove the following cars and mentioned it on the air? Mazda 626. Volkswagen New Beetle. AMC 990. And a Morrison M6 Cosmopolitan. So... there's four different personalities.
Oh, four.
All of them on NPR.
I think I know one of them. Daniel Pinkwater drove a New Beetle.
That's correct, yes. And he called into Car Talk, and they recommended that as his car.
Did
yes.
they? Okay. Yep. Right. I haven't heard Daniel Pinkwater in a few years.
No, I haven't heard the name in about 10 years.
He's still...
is he?
Yeah.
He's
still doing kids' books?
Kids' books. He has a show or something.
Yeah. What are the other ones here?
Mazda 626, AMC 990, and a Morrison M6 Cosmopolitan.
How would we know these? Did they talk about
it? It was mentioned
that?
On the air, yeah.
Well, oh, okay.
Okay.
And these are, well, Morrison, these are network personalities, not local.
They are, yeah, they're national.
Okay.
National.
AMC Morrison. Mazda, and what's the other one?
AMC Mazda and a Morrison M6 Cosmopolitan.
Are one of the Car Talk guys get the Morrison Cosmopolitan?
Yeah. And I should
say...
yeah,
that would make sense.
Yeah.
It's actually vehicles.
Yeah. None of them... neither of the Car Talk guys, huh?
One is one of the Car Talk guys.
Okay. Mazda.
No.
Okay.
What were the other ones? What's left?
The Mazda 626, AMC 990, and the Morrison M6.
It must be the AMC 990.
It is, yes. That's okay. The sleek black beauty of Car Talk fame. Yes.
Right.
So we have two out. Which NPR personality drove a Mazda 626, and which was transported about in a Morrison M6 Cosmopolitan.
All right. And we're a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions. You don't have to repeat that one, but that has not been answered yet. Jerry?
What is the only musical to win Tonys for its four leading actors in the same show? And if you can, who were they for? Another Bell. And the other question is, Joe Cocker, who recently died, had but one number one single. What was it? It was written for a movie. And what movie, if you can guess that?
Jonathan.
And before I recap my other question, I have to remind everybody, I love this show. I've loved this show for 15 years. And if you love this show, tell someone else about this show. I think it's a great show. And
if
everybody out there told one other person about that show, this show who loves trivia, I think it would
we'd
be just great.
We'd have 100 listeners.
Yeah. We'd have two listeners.
We have more than that.
Tell
Stop
a friend.
Trying to worm your way into
no,
my good
this
graces.
No, this is a great show. So tell your friends, everybody. It's a great show.
Right.
I'm looking for, my only question I have out is the top 10 creepiest product mascots, according to Time Magazine.
Okay. This 18th century novel was the last book ever banned in the United States, but it was in the 1960s. So this 18th century novel was the last book ever banned in the United States by the courts, and it was in the 1960s. And according to the Consumer Protection Bureau, these are the five most complained about products in the United States. So far, all we have are microwave ovens. That's number five. And, yeah, okay, that's it.
Well, I'll tell you the product that I've had nothing but trouble with are portable CD players.
Portable CD players.
Yeah.
That's probably because you're one of the last people to use a portable CD player.
Really?
Parts aren't available anymore.
Do you mean the Walkman?
Not a Walkman, a portable CD player. Not a, you know, you put a CD in and...
It's interesting.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think it's on the list.
Are they that passe? Really?
They're pretty passe.
If I use them, I must be, by definition. Yeah. creepy commercial.
Well, as some of you may know, Saturday Night Live is going to be celebrating its 40th anniversary.
I'm not sure why.
This year. So what I'd like to know is, who was the first non-show business personality to host Saturday Night Live? Who was the first
political figure?
Show business, in a sense. In a sense. Who was the first non-show business personality to host Saturday Night Live?
Can you give us the era, decade?
It was within the first couple of years of the show. So it was in the 70s. Yeah.
I was going to say sports player, but no.
It's not. Nobody in sports.
No.
They've had very few people
few,
in sports.
Yeah. But early on, they may have tried it. Okay. Political.
So who was the first non-show business personality to host Saturday Night Live? It was in the 1970s.
And you say it was quasi-political. How can you be quasi-political?
Well, when I give you the answer, you'll understand why.
Do you include music as show business?
Nothing to do with music.
Okay.
Nothing to do with music. So once more, who was the first non-show business personality to host Saturday Night Live? It was in the 1970s. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda in El Cerrito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. About your complaints about products, would telephones be one of the products?
No.
Okay.
Weirdly enough.
All right. Well, Jerry was asking about best-selling books of 30 years ago, and I have a guess on that. Would either Dianetics or Joy of Sex be one of them?
Dianetics.
Yeah.
Excellent guess.
For that.
No, and Joy of Sex, I think that was earlier, but
okay.
No, maybe not. Anyway, that's a good guess also.
All right.
Is that a self-help book?
Yeah.
Right.
Very good.
All right. Well, I was thinking about books, too, and I was thinking about what genres bring in the most money in the United States. So I have a list of the top five genres.
In terms of books?
Yes, in terms of how much money they make.
Dog books.
No, dog books, that's a little too narrow.
They make a lot of money, though.
Well, yeah. I would say self-help books must be one of them.
Well, they're not listing it that way. I don't know where that would fit, but...
Memoirs?
No, they aren't listing that as such either.
Autobiographies.
Okay, and when you do figure it out, maybe you could give me a ballpark figure of how much money they make.
Oh, gosh.
Nobody can guess that.
It's going to be enough just to figure out. So, nothing as generic as fiction or nonfiction.
No, it's less generic than that.
Less generic, okay.
Well, romance novels.
Yeah.
There you get a big bell for that one.
All right.
Yeah.
Romance slant erotica. It goes on a scale there, I guess. And do you have any idea approximately what kind of money those books?
No, that's too
tough.
$20 billion. I don't know.
No.
Well, billion. That part is right. It's $1.5 billion, according to my.
Are cookbooks one of them?
That's a good guess.
They don't list it as one of them.
Really?
That would be pretty big, but it's not. Okay, so you've got the top one, which is romance erotica.
How many more are you asking for, John?
Five.
How about I guess autobiographies?
No, they don't list that as a genre.
And how about travel?
No.
Well, those are genres. My God.
No. This is a pretty broad.
Yeah, Debbie.
The second one is pretty broad.
Debbie suggested children's books.
No, that's not one of them that I have.
Not cookbooks.
Not autobiographies, not cookbooks.
Is a fairly broad genre, I would say.
Not self-help, at least not.
Yeah, okay. In a very, very general sense, you might include that. Inspirational, so...
Yeah, that's sort of self-help,
yeah,
I guess.
And religion.
Oh, yeah. Debbie also suggested mysteries.
Okay. Okay, number two, the one you just named, about 700 million. Mysteries, that's a very good guess, too, because that's number three, crime and mystery.
All right.
And about the same, it's about the same amount as religion, so you take your choice on that.
Political books.
No, that's not on my list.
Is there another nonfiction type of book on there?
No.
All right, so it's fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not westerns. It's
no,
not.
No, that's pretty passe.
Yeah, I think so. It's not.
Is it cartoons?
No.
Graphic novels.
I guess that would be a separate thing. Mm-hmm. These are books.
Okay. No, we give up. You fill in the rest.
All right. The fourth one, science fiction and fantasy. They say that's about 600 million. And then the last one, bringing up the rear, is horror, and that's, I'm glad to say, quite a bit less money, about 80 million. So it drops off rather sharply.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Joseph, San Francisco.
Hi, Joseph. Go ahead, please.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Antebellum U.S. history.
All right.
Okay. What did Wall Street have in common with the Confederacy?
What did Wall Street have in common with the Confederacy?
Yes.
Is this a...
is it a joke?
Is this a politically revisionist sort of question, or is this a historically based question?
This is a historical question that you're not going to read in conventional history.
So it is politically... revisionist. No, we don't know.
Okay. 18 days after South Carolina seceded from the Union, January 7th, 1861, the Democrat mayor, Fernando Wood, expressing the common sympathy felt for the slaveholders by the people that he represented, proposed the secession of New York City from the United States.
Oh, right. Yes, New York was a Democratic stronghold all through the Civil War. That is very true.
Not surprising.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes. For the 18th century novel
that
was banned till the 60s.
Yes.
Was Fanny Hill by John Cleveland.
Fanny Hill is absolutely correct.
Yeah, I should have got that. I said Shadow's Lover, but that was, okay.
Very good. Yes.
Yep.
That was the 18th century novel. Fanny Hill was the last book ever banned in the United States. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, The Chronicle just celebrated its 150th birthday. What magazine just celebrated the same milestone? One guess.
150?
Yeah.
How about The Atlantic?
No. That's an old one. But
it is an old, very old one. Harper's.
One each, I said.
Right.
Okay. Jonathan?
That's a long time for a magazine.
But a little before your time.
Yeah.
Even before my time.
It's a national magazine.
Yeah.
Okay.
National magazine. National Book Review is not really a magazine. No. And it wasn't National Geographic, so...
No,
it's... Not sure.
No. That's kind of old, too. Not as old.
Not that old, though.
Can I make one more guess?
All right.
Scientific American.
No, that's that's very old.
That's very
that's
old.
That's the oldest, I think.
I think it is.
But it's this is 150... But
150 years. Okay.
Which would have been what year?
That's what we're aiming for here.
Which would have been what year? Yeah, we only have 130 years to go.
That's right.
What year would that have made it?
Which, 150 years ago?
Yeah. I'm not good at that.
Yeah, so in 1865, yeah.
Okay.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Beth in Palo Alto.
Hi, Beth.
Jerry's Joe Cocker, is it With a Little Help from My Friends?
No.
It's not. Okay. That was my guess.
Yes. Thank you, Beth.
Call again.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
How are you?
Good.
So there he is. He's back.
Yeah, I have disappeared for a couple of weeks.
Revival.
The great. I'm happy to talk to you. Really, always happy to talk to you. The great movie star, Omar Sharif, real wife, a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Egyptian woman, died last week.
Oh.
I don't expect many of your audience know her name, but go online. She was really beautiful young woman.
I believe you.
So I want to know her name. But the other comment, and that's it for tonight, Miss Universe is tonight at 8 o'clock at NBC,
yes,
which is Channel 3, on cable, Channel 11.
Thanks for that update.
Are you doing the PR for this?
It's $50 for mentioning it on KLW.
I had no idea you were such a Miss Universe fan.
I want everyone to watch Miss Egypt.
Oh.
Very beautiful woman. Very, very beautiful young Egyptian.
Well, they better be, or they won't be on the show.
I have at home I happen to have one of the great fans of Miss Universe who will be watching tonight, so I will.
Mine too. Very beautiful woman. Her name is, by the way, her name is Lara Dabani. Very beautiful. Really beautiful.
Okay.
Great, beautiful.
Okay. We got it. Very beautiful. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Eve.
I missed the trivia part of that.
There was no question. He wanted to mention Miss Egypt.
That way, if he runs into her on the street, he can say, "Hey, I mentioned you on it."
That's right.
On the radio.
That's his client. Client.
But I'm gonna pay attention to that. I'm gonna look for Miss Egypt. I hope she, unless she doesn't make
it's
the
on
top
tonight,
10.
Miss Universe.
Yes.
What time? 10 or something?
8 o'clock.
Oh.
So you got to rush home.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to interfere with Downton Abbey, I'm afraid.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh well.
Okay. Which has a lot of very beautiful women also. Huh?
Really? Not as many as Miss Universe, I'm sure. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. It's Matt again from San Francisco.
Hi.
Let me turn the radio down. I'm going to take a wild guess at the magazine. Would that be The New Yorker?
No, it would not. That was 1925.
And the other question I wanted to answer is, the Joe Cocker song, would that be the one from Officer and a Gentleman?
It would be.
Up Where We Belong, right?
Up Where We Belong. Very good. Two bells. You got two.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good job. Thank you very much. And Jonathan, it's your turn.
Okay. I'll do a quick film. I'm the proud owner of Phil Frank, San Francisco Chronicle cartoonist Phil Frank's Jaguar. So here's a Jaguar question for you. Yes, it's true.
Amazing.
Which film famously featured a Jaguar XKE sports car converted into a hearse?
Into a hearse? Oh, one of the Godfather movies?
Not a Godfather movie.
Did the hearse figure prominently in the plot?
It was on screen for a good amount of time.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I'm not sure how old the XKE actually is. How many years ago is that?
The XKE came out in 1963, I think.
Okay, so is it sort of like an avant-garde or mod movie, you know, in the 60s?
No.
Jaguar converted into a hearse. Did it figure prominently in the film?
I just asked him.
It had some good screen time, and and certainly towards the end of the movie as well.
So it's a drama, I take it, or not a comedy. Could be, okay.
Could be.
Is it a comedy?
He's not saying, so I think it is.
I won't say.
He won't say.
All right, okay.
I'm sure someone will get that.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? No? Nobody? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, it's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good, thanks.
And welcome, Jonathan, to the show.
Thank you, Sparty. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. The first non-performer to be on Saturday Night Live has to be Ron Nessen.
Ron Nessen, who is Gerald Ford's press secretary.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Very good,
yeah.
And also, Up Where We Belong, Jennifer Warren was the second person on
That's
there.
Why I asked if it was a duet.
Yeah, you're right. It was a duet. Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, annoying advertising
creepy. Creepy.
Mascots.
They're all annoying, but...
the Noid.
The Noid, yes. Well done. Number five
was that?
The Domino's Noid. An odd little red costumed gremlin with rabbit-like ears.
What about the Aflac duck?
Aflac duck is not on the list. Oh. That's not creepy, but definitely annoying.
Yeah, annoying.
I heard a story on NPR about not too long ago.
The Noid?
Yeah.
In 1989, a mentally ill man
named
Kenneth Noid held up a Domino's in Georgia, claiming that the chain was personally attacking him. Yeah,
really?
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Talk about a campaign that backfired.
Yeah.
Literally.
Right.
I'm sorry, Sparky. Go ahead. What?
Okay, I got one more. How about the Budweiser frogs?
No, the frogs were not not
creepy.
They were
sort of very
popular.
Popular, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. We're done.
All right. Thank you, Sparky. Bye-bye.
Wouldn't be the word the beef lady, would it be?
Nope, that came up when I talked about this, too. She was
kind of charming.
A little creepy.
Actually. Yeah, a little bit.
Yes. Do you remember what the restaurant was? I got that wrong, actually.
Oh, that was,
which one was Where the Beef?
That was Burger King.
It was not.
Oh,
I thought it was. Oh. It was not Burger King.
Wendy's.
It was Wendy's.
Yeah.
Yes. I always thought it was Burger King, but it wasn't. It was Wendy's, yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Clara Peller.
Oh, was the actress?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who was?
Clara Peller.
Oh, yeah, that's her name, yeah.
Yeah.
Dana Rodriguez, everybody. Wow. Impressive.
All right. Who was the only fictional character to host The Tonight Show?
To host?
Fictional, you
to
mean?
To host.
Oh.
Who was the only fictional character to host The Tonight Show?
Oh, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
That's a very good guess, but no.
No, he did not.
Don't know that person. Thing.
It was during Johnny Carson's reign. Just so
Miss Piggy.
No.
Oh, good guess. Yeah.
Who was the only fictional character to host The Tonight Show?
Big Bird.
No, that's also a good guess.
Okay.
No, it wasn't animated. It was a.
It was not animated.
It was not animated.
Is that
no.
A human being.
I just said it wasn't animated.
Probably some kind of a puppet or a...
A muppet, yeah.
Dressed up.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't Topo Gigio.
Pee Wee Herman.
No.
Kermit the Frog?
Yes.
Okay. Ah,
Kermit
good.
The Frog. Very good. Good job. Good job. Right. Good job. Let's see. All right, we'll go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hello, this is Eileen in San Jose.
Hi, Eileen.
I called in with one, but I think I have another answer since then. For Saturday Night Live, I wanted to say I remember Pat Paulson.
Oh, that's... Wait a minute. Was Pat Paulson ever...
Well, he's a performer.
I don't think he ever hosted. Yeah. He was on Smothers Brothers.
Yeah. He may have.
But since then, you asked about the Jaguar hearse. That was Harold and Maude.
It was, 1971.
Oh, very good.
Yes, Harold and Maude.
Oh,
at the end of the
Maude.
Movie, it was driven off the cliff. Oh, they only shot it one time, and the reason it's a still photo is because they didn't start the camera fast enough. So they just had a still of it.
Oh.
And they only had one version that they had made because it was a little bit
interesting.
Movie. Well done.
Okay, good job.
Well done, Eileen.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay, let's see. I missed a few things because people got them ahead of me, like the Up Where We Belong, Officer Gentleman, Jennifer Warren.
Mm-hmm. Right,
right.
And the fictional character wasn't Max Headroom. I was going to guess that. Oh, well.
That's a very good guess. Yes.
Yeah,
Max
Headroom?
Yeah, but it wasn't.
It had a real guy's voice. I can't remember the name of the actor.
Was it British?
No, it wasn't
British.
No,
he's an American, but I can't think of it.
Yeah, it was an American.
Hey.
I can't think of it.
Don't worry about it. Creepy characters. How about the Michelin Tire Man?
Yes, he's number 9, the Michelin Man. He was originally drawn holding a drinking glass full of nails and glass, claiming Michelin tires swallow all obstacles. How's that?
That's before my time. I only remember him as a big, fat guy made of tires. That's all I remember.
Yeah,
he's
right.
gotten
yeah,
kinder
that
over
that
the years.
That wasn't creepy, yeah. That one
he's
is.
Sort of like the Pillsbury Doughboy, you know, big,
yeah,
fat.
Looking,
He had a name, Beeblebum or Beeblebum.
I can't remember what car Ray, Tom drove of Tom and Ray, the car guy?
Yes.
Or wasn't it Comet or something?
He drove many cars, but the one I was asking about was the AMC 990, his famous sleek black beauty.
Oh, because he was also famous for having a Comet, wasn't he?
His other famous car was, I think, an MG. It was an MG.
That's all I remember. Yeah. Yeah, the MG. How about the time Marley Safer called in? What car did he have?
Oh,
who?
Marley Safer. Schaefer called. I heard this recently on a podcast too.
Yeah, I give you a hint. It was out of the country.
Oh, that's right. Because he couldn't find. It was. He blamed them for. it was a French car. It was a Renault. It was a Peugeot.
Yes. Heard that recently too.
It was like a 504 Peugeot 504. Yeah. Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, he loved that car. He called in. I recognized that voice, and I'm going, "That's Marley Safer." He didn't have to use it to tell who it was. So I got two quick questions for you. What is the biggest minority in the U.S.? And I'm not talking race. I'm talking biggest minority.
Millennials.
No.
Biggest minority in the U.S. So
yeah,
you
think carefully. There's only two races, and there's only two groups in this minority.
So is this, it's
a majority.
One is men, and one is women.
Yeah. Women outnumber men 50.8 to 49.2.
Right. There you go.
Oh, very
good. More men are born, but women live longer.
Oh, right. Yes.
And where does the word flu come from?
Influenza.
Yeah, but what does it mean? Where is it from?
Influenza must be Hispanic.
It's Europe.
Yes.
Europe. Okay, Spanish.
You might be right.
Is it Spanish?
Go east.
Influenza.
Did you say?
Influenza.
Oh. Go east and high.
East and high.
Oh, well.
Iceland?
No, east.
Oh, east, Spain. East.
Finland?
Flu.
No.
East of Spain.
Oh, east.
Oh, well, there. France.
East of Spain.
East and high.
East and high. Well, I don't know. France. Yeah.
Italy.
So. All right.
And it comes from years ago. People thought the flu was short for influenza, and people thought it meant that it was caused by the influence of positions of the moon and the sun.
Ah.
So that's what influence means.
All right. We have to go because we're almost out of time.
Yep. I know. I'm glad to get in.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Jonathan, how about Mr. Whipple?
No, Mr. Whipple is not a creepy.
All right, time to clean up here. Jerry, what do we have?
Okay, the top five best-selling nonfiction books 30 years ago are, Danny got Iacocca's An Autobiography. Number two is Loving Each Other by Leo Biscaglia. Yeah. Pieces of My Mind by Andrew Rooney. That's the comic essays.
Mm-hmm.
The Good War by Studs Terkel.
Oh.
And the animal book is Moses the Kitten. Which I don't remember.
Oh, just the kidding.
Okay, right. And the only musical to win Tony's for its four leading actors was South Pacific.
Oh.
And they were Mary Martin, Ezio Pinza, Myron McCormick, and Juanita Hall as Bloody Mary.
Interesting. Okay. Jonathan.
According to Time Magazine, the top 10 creepiest product mascots in reverse order, the Dairy Queen Lips, the Michelin Man, the world's first Ronald McDonald, Count Chocula, the Kool-Aid Man, the Domino's Noid, the Hamburglar, Jack of Jack in the Box, the Quiznos Sponge Monkeys, and the number one creepiest product mascot was the Burger King King, who went around stalking people outside their homes and scaring young women. That was their idea of selling hamburgers. And which NPR personality drove a Mazda 626? That was Nina Totenberg. She got she mentioned it on the air because she drove that to her White House dinner, much to the chagrin of her husband. And Scott Simon doesn't really drive a Morrison M6 Cosmopolitan. That's a train car. Scott Simon doesn't drive, so he takes the train.
Very clever.
All right. The top five most complained about products in the U.S., according to the Consumer Protection Bureau, electric ranges, dishwashers, footwear, and refrigerators. Of course, along with microwave ovens, which somebody got. Anyway, if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Excuse me. This is Minds Over Matter, and we are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was well-known author Jerry Nachman, our new guest, Jonathan Westerling. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having
Shoutcast.
Me.
Shoutcast. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks, of course, to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones, and above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. Bye-bye.